The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Before that, take your Bible, please, and go back, if you will, one more time and look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, where the Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier." Now, I want us to understand, as we think about today, what it is to be a soldier. And I want to speak tonight on becoming a spiritual veteran, becoming a spiritual veteran. Today is the 100th anniversary of that which is the ending, the concluding of what we call the Great War, which is World War I. It was on November, which is the 11th month, on the 11th day of that month, at the 11th hour of that day, that war came to an end. It was during that war that there was 4.7 million Americans that served. I gave these statistics this morning, and there was a total civilian and also military casualties of 40 million plus. They say between 15 and 19 million people died, and over 23 million people were wounded. World War II came after World War I and was even a greater tragedy as far as the deaths were concerned. Both wars needed, both wars certainly, if you would please, granted us freedom and liberty to be able to continue. The sacrifice of both was great. World War II, over 60 million people were killed. That was 3% of the world's population at that time. They said that by the time all related issues were turned in, as far as deaths that were related because of chemical warfare and other things, the total was over 80 million people that was killed because of that war. Yesterday, I had the privilege to take Brother Butler with me and his dear wife and my dear wife, and we traveled over to Cooper, Texas, to visit some of our church members that are there. And we were on our way back, and I noticed heading over to Cooper that there was the Audie Murphy Memorial that was there. And so on the way back, I looked at Brother Butler, and I said, "Oh, we've just got to stop. I mean, we just have to stop." Now, we're not going to go into the museum part, but we're just going to stop and just kind of look at the memorial that has been designated there by way of statue. And I would like to be able to go back to the museum to see when it is open and how much it cost, and be able to get an idea for maybe a trip over. And so I just took a little bit of time and swung in there, and I was reminded that Audie Murphy, of course, was the most decorated World War II veteran that we had. And I was also reminded of the great price that people paid during that time of war. Many wars since then has been fought. Many wars have been won. Many casualties have had to happen during those wars. Many people died during those wars. But I want us to see something tonight, because I think sometimes we look at the sacrifice that has been paid there in America to keep us free, and also around the world to be able to keep us free. But also, there's another flag that came into my life as not just being born in America. My great-grandparents came to America from Ireland. They came over during the potato famine, and they became immigrants here to America. And it was during that time that my great-granddaddy took great stock in the American flag and fought in the war. And of course, my uncles and my dad fought in wars, and great stock in keeping America free and keeping our heritage strong. And I didn't know that Christians had a flag. I did not know that. I was not born into a Christian home. I was Irish Roman Catholic for the first 18 years of my life. And so I had no idea that Christians had their own flag. Matter of fact, I didn't know that until I attended a conference somewhere and I saw that there was a Christian flag. And we never flew one in my church where I was growing up. We just never did it. But can I tell you, I think we ought to stand for both. I said, I think we ought to stand for both flags tonight. And so let me give you some similarities as we look at both of these flags tonight. The Webster's Dictionary talks about a veteran. A veteran is a person who has a longstanding service or experience in an occupation, office, or such like. Another definition, a person who has served in the military armed forces. Another definition, experienced with long service or practice, such as known as a veteran. What does it mean to be a veteran? How is it tonight that you and I could be able to become spiritual veterans? There's very many similarities. Let me point them out. Statement number one, it takes a volunteer. It takes a volunteer. For those that would serve in our military services, many years ago, they stopped, if you would please, of getting somebody to come in by saying, yes, you are going to serve. By the way, Thailand and many other places, St. John Hong that came here. And of course, we're friends with Saint's parents that are missionaries out of our church. And they're there in Thailand planting churches. But Saint now is in the military. Why? Because in Thailand, it is mandatory that every young person, before they reach the age of 24 or 25, whatever that age is, married or unmarried, you have to serve 2 years in the military. It's not something that you have a choice about. It's mandatory that you serve in the military. Now, in America, it's not mandatory. In America, except for during times of war, there is no draft whatsoever. But in America, we have officers that go about and they try to recruit people, try to get people interested in the military. Now, by the way, preachers are that way. Preachers are great recruiters to try and get as many people to volunteer to serve Jesus Christ as possible. So for the American flag, we can say that there's those that will volunteer to serve in one of our military branches. But also, similarity, in the Christian realm, there's a flag that represents how we also ought to volunteer to serve Jesus Christ. You know, if more people would simply serve Jesus Christ, I do believe that you would see a great change in America. If more people would decide that they just don't want to come to church and sit, but they want to come to church and actually serve. Many people come to church to see how they can be served, but it ought not to be that way. We ought to come to church to see what we can do to be able to help somebody, how we can encourage somebody, how we can be able to serve someone else and help someone else to be able to live their life for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled." And so the banner has been passed down from one generation to another, whereby we're supposed to take the good news. We're supposed to take the gospel and share the good news with other people around the world. By the way, that takes volunteers. It takes somebody that says, "I'm willing to go." It takes somebody to say, and by the way, working on a bus route is difficult, but somebody has to say, "I volunteer." Teaching in a Sunday school class is difficult, but somebody has to say, "I volunteer." Singing in a choir and being faithful to all the choir practices that we have to be able to make it right and God honoring and Christ glorifying is sometimes challenging, but somebody has to say, "I volunteer." Don't you thank God for the nursery workers that volunteer? Don't you thank God for those that are part of our security team that volunteers? Don't you thank God for those that are greeters at the door that volunteer? Don't you thank God for those that volunteer to work in the special needs department or that works in the Spanish department or one of the other many, many departments that we have as we run the nine different junior churches or so on a Sunday morning? Can I tell you, it takes somebody that just says, "Hey, I'll serve. I'm not looking to get out of it. I'm looking to get in it." And so there's similarities, if you would please, between the veteran that serves our country and the veteran, if you will, that serves the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes a volunteer. Statement number two, it takes complete faith. It takes complete faith. You think about somebody that steps up, that goes into the military. What are they doing? They're trusting the people of the United States to take care of them. We call that the government, is what we call that, but it really is the people of the United States. It's not just some government that's out there. Oh, no. The government is supposed to be for the people and by the people. The government could not exist if it wasn't for your tax paying. And so because of your tax paying, we're able to help those that serve in a military branch. We're the one that supplies the food, and we're the one that supplies the clothing, and we're the one that supplies the shelter, and we're the one that supplies the medical needs, and we're the ones that supply the companions that's going to go with them into war. We're the ones that do that. Now, can I tell you, we thank God that we're able to pay the taxes and to be able to send men and women out to be able to fight for our freedom. We thank God for that. And it does take volunteers, but can I tell you also, it takes a complete commitment of faith. A person that says, I want to have complete faith in trusting. Oh, how much more can we trust our Heavenly Father? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, the Bible says, Therefore, take no thought, it says, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so we understand this. When we put God first, God can take care of us. God can take care of us. You say, well, I'll tell you what, I just don't think that God can. I differ with you. God says He's not slack concerning His promises. And so God can take care of us. The reason many times that we have not, the Bible says, is because we ask not. It might be we need to ask. By the way, listen, a young man joins a military branch and he stands in line after getting weighed and getting pulled into that which is line of getting his new clothes. Can I tell you, those clothes are supplied for him. Those clothes are supplied for her. The food is supplied. The medical needs, the dental needs is all supplied. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you, God also does supply? He supplies. God can take care of you. God can meet your need. God can be able to supply food. God can be able to supply that which is the clothing need. You have a God that loves you, and you have a God that cares about you, and you have a God that will meet your need. But I say that we have not because we ask not. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, God also supplies this. The Bible says, that which ye have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And true fellowship, it talks about here, is with the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. And so He supplies also a companion to go in. So what happens is God supplies somebody to be your partner, a companion, if you would please, as you go into the military and you're not there in some type of battle by yourself. You got somebody backing you up. And can I tell you, it ought to be that way, yes, in the Christian realm. It ought to be that way in the local church. When somebody gets down and somebody gets discouraged, we ought not to decide we're going to kick them, we're going to make fun of them, we're going to try and hurt them. No, that's not Christian. We're supposed to help people to become reconciled unto God. We're supposed to love people and help people and encourage people. That's part of being a Christian the way that we ought to be. I'm saying this. I'm saying that there needs to be those that are volunteers. There needs to be those that complete their faith. There needs to be those that are completely committed. Completely committed. When a person enters one of our military branches, can I tell you, they are completely committed. They've decided that they're going to do their duty without hesitation or excuse. Now, pray tell me tonight, why cannot those that fly or that walk underneath the banner of the Christian flag be the very same? Why is it that a person would have a love for a country, a Christian nation? Why is it that a person would have a love for a Christian nation more than he would have a love for the God of the Christian nation? Why is it that a person would give allegiance to a flag more than he would to the Savior that saved him from a devil's hell? I'm saying both are important. I'm saying that a person ought to understand that God is the one that gave you eternal salvation. God is the one that we also ought to be committed to. Oh, you have people that would show up on time because they're going to get in trouble. They have a fleshly person, if you would please, a fleshly person that's there that reminds them that they're going to get in trouble if they do not show up and perform the task that they ought to perform. But might it also be true in the Christian realm? Does not a person get in trouble when they do not serve God the way that they should serve God? Here's what we understand. Luke chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible says, and when they had brought, it says, their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Luke chapter 14 and verse 33, the Bible says, so likewise, whosoever be of you that forsake him, not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. There was a great theater that was over in England, and Sir John Barrowley, was the one that was conducting in that great, great theater, a musical, just a great musical concert. The preacher went there that night. The hall was used for many things, and oftentimes they would have different things that would take place in this grand hall. And on this particular night, which is Saturday night, the grand hall was filled. There was standing room only. And somebody noticed that the preacher was there. He used it on Sunday. And said to the preacher in a cocky, arrogant type of way, why don't you see if you can fill it like he fills it? I mean, on Sunday, we don't have as many people come on Sunday as we've got in this grand hall on a Saturday night. The preacher looked over to this arrogant young man and said this. He said, well, if you give me 85 people that are as dedicated and are as committed to playing in the orchestra and be as dedicated and committed in being here and performing their task as a Christian, we could fill this hall. But I think sometimes that we are not as committed. And I don't know why, but maybe somebody playing a musical instrument, they become committed to playing a second chair, or maybe they get committed to playing that musical instrument and are challenged by that. And I don't know why. I don't know why it seems like people are more committed to the workplace than they are to the God place, if you will, called church. I don't understand all of that. I don't know if it's because of a lack of will or a lack of work that they're supposed to perform, or maybe just a lack, if you would please, of willingness to be able to be used of God in a marvelous way. I'm not really sure about that, but I can tell you this, there's still a great need for volunteers. There's still a great need for people to complete their faith. There's still a great need for people to be completely committed. Than this, and I'm almost done tonight, and that is this, to be completely obedient, completely obedient. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 19, the Bible says, and the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready, it says, the Passover, as Jesus had appointed them. John chapter 14 and verse 21, the Bible says, and he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19, the Bible says, and if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. It was John Newton. John Newton was known as a very, very popular hymn writer, and he was known for probably his greatest piece that he ever wrote, which is Amazing Grace. One day, he was discouraged, and somebody came to him and said, now, why is it that you think that some people serve God and some people don't? He said, I wish they'd be like the angels, don't you? He said, the angels. If you think about God giving a duty to an angel, let's say God comes in, he says, I have a duty. I want the angel. I want you two angels here. I want you to perform this duty. One of them is cleaning out a hallway. While the other one is performing something that is going to be near and dear to somebody's heart as assisting in a miracle, maybe in saving a village. They don't squander over the duty that this one gets and the duty that that one did not get. They just have a servant's heart. Can I tell you something? Picking up paper around the campus is just as important as singing a solo. Can I tell you that teaching a Sunday school class is just as important as a preacher getting up and preaching a message? For some reason, we have this erroneous idea that if I can't be in the limelight and I can't perform something whereby the people can see me and the people value it, then it must not be important. But can I tell you, everything that you do in the name of the Lord, everything you do in trying to serve Him is vitally important. Whether it's staying around on a Sunday night and straightening up the hymn books, whether it is playing the piano, whether it's playing the organ, whether it is being able to be an usher, whether it's being a greeter, whether it's working in the nursery, whether it is being somebody that's an encourager to somebody else, can I tell you, everything that you do is important. Those that are in the military, there's nobody unimportant. From the person that prepares the food to the person that prepares the laundry, to the person that steps up and tries to be able to prepare the shells that's going to be shot, to those that load the shells, to those that direct the ships, to those that fly the planes, to those that put gas and oil in those massive, massive planes and ships, everybody's important. But for some reason, we have this ideology that if we're not up in the limelight and we're not getting the attention, and no wonder God chooses the weak to confound that which is those that have strength or confound those that are wise. No wonder God does that. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because sometimes a person will allow their talents to go to their head. Many times God will take somebody that might not be as cutting, that might not be as domineering, that might not be, if you would please, as smooth or might not be as elegant, if you will. And God would take somebody like that, and God will use that person for His honor and for His glory, because He knows that that individual, when they walk in a room, they know who they are. They know that they're not talented. They know that if anything is going to happen, God gets all the glory and God gets all the praise. Why? Because they might not have the ability of somebody else. And can I tell you this? We all should be obedient to Christ. Amen. No matter what God calls you to do. By the way, anybody can encourage somebody else. Anybody can be used of God to help somebody else. Give you a last thought for tonight. There needs to be complete devotion. Complete devotion. I'm saying that I thank God that I'm an American. I think America's the greatest land on the face of God's earth. I thank God for it. I thank God for every person that volunteers and that goes into our military service to be able to keep us free and to be able to make sure that we have the liberties that we have here in America. I thank God for that. But also thank God for those Christians that also volunteer and they enter into a form of service. Thank God for every Sunday school teacher, and thank God for every person that leads a song, and thank God for every person that sings in a choir, and thank God for those that do, yes, work in the nursery, and thank God for the ushers and the security team, and thank God for those that just decide they're going to serve, and it doesn't have to be something of great capacity that gets somebody else's attention, but they do it just because they love God. Amen. I'm saying tonight there is a great need for volunteers. And by the way, you'll never be a veteran unless you volunteer. You'll never be a veteran unless you complete your faith. Complete the faith that God has given you to execute the duties that God has given you as a Christian believer that's obedient unto Him. Complete your commitment. Complete your commitment. When I got in the ministry, I did not get in the ministry to get out. I got in the ministry to get in. When I got in the ministry, I didn't want to get in it and say, okay, I'll serve it for a little while, and that's it. Then I'll go do something else. No, no, no. When I got in it, I got in it for life. Now I say, complete your commitment. You can complete your commitment by being that Sunday school teacher. Complete it. Complete your commitment by singing in a choir. You can. Yes, you can. By working that bus route. Now, by the way, all these things after a while loses their flair. Yes. Can I tell you it does? It loses. You say, I volunteered to sing in the choir. Well, I didn't know it was a lifetime commitment. I volunteered to work a bus route. now I'm in it, and now I've got so many kids riding the bus, and nobody would take it, and so I guess I'm just stuck. Hello. Well, I didn't know I was going to have to miss a church service working on the security team. I didn't know that. And by the way, it was fun there for a while. You know, I mean, you just kind of felt like you're somebody, you know. You know, I mean, you just, you know, you got that Barney Fife type of thing, you know. And you just, you know, it's just, wow, it's just so good. You know, but then after a while, it gets old after a while. There is the grind. There is the grind. But can I tell you, the person that lives past the grind, you get happy in Jesus after a while. Come on, I ran track and field for many years when I was a high school boy. And did you know that I only ran cross country, I think, one summer, and it about killed me. One of my dear friends by the name of Fred Stein said this: "You can do it." I was not a cross country runner. I was a sprinter. There's a big difference. And so he said, "You can do it." He said, "Just get out there and run it like you run every week." You can't run it like you run every week. So I got out there and I thought, what's wrong with these poor, poor fellas that's running this cross country? I took off like a house of fire. I looked behind me. Nobody was there. And I thought, man, these are sorry cross country runners. These are just sorry. And I kept running and running and running, giving it everything I got, and everything I got began to dismiss itself out of me getting it, and it was gone. I looked over my shoulder and I started to see the in the haze of these bodies that's starting to catch up. And I'm trying, man. I'm giving it everything I've got. And I did all right for about 3 miles, but this was supposed to be one of those long runs. I think they're running us 10 miles that day or something. I don't know what it was, but it was a long run. It was an incredible, crazy amount that we're supposed to run. I mean, insane. And man, I tell you, all of a sudden now, these guys are catching up, and they're running slow. I mean, they're running a whole lot slower than what I just did. And they passed me and smiled. And I'm out of breath, and I'm throwing up on the side of the road. Not one of them stopped to say, "Can I help you?" They just kept on going. Say, "What'd you do?" I found my way to the end eventually about 4 or 5 days later. No, I'm kidding. But can I tell you, being in the Christian race, if you will, if I may say that, or being in the Christian work, if you will, you have to pace yourself. If you bite off too much, then can I tell you, you're going to have a hard time swallowing it. But if you don't bite anything off, then you're going to have a hard time being faithful. Here's what I find out. Those that get involved and they have something to do in serving Christ become faithful. Those that back, I always worry about someone that says, "Well, I tell you what, I need to resign my Sunday school class. I need to get out of the choir. Can't work the bus route no more. Can't do this. Can't do this." Now, I'm going to tell you, let me tell you the end result of that. And I've dealt with many people over the years, and it happens the same way, and there's nobody different. Here's what happens: when a person that is committed becomes uncommitted, before you know it, they're backing off and backing off. Then they start missing a church service, and then they start putting other things in there. And then before you know it, you can't find them anywhere serving Jesus Christ. I mean, they're just not around. So when you commit yourself and you get, it doesn't matter how small it is, find yourself something to commit yourself to. Straightening up the hymn books, picking up trash off of the property, shaking hands, find yourself a position, get in a position and do it. You know, when people sign up to one of our military branches, they are assigned a position, and they're supposed to become excellent in that position. Why can't we have the same type of philosophy in Christian work? Why can't we decide, "I'm going to get in Christian work, and here's what I'm going to do"? And by the way, I'm not talking about being called to the ministry. I'm talking about local church people that are getting involved, and you say, "This is what I'll do. I will be faithful in doing this." And you stay faithful all the days of your life. By the way, anybody could straighten up hymn books, but not everybody is. Anybody can come up here on a Sunday afternoon and help Brother Josh to take down the chairs in the gymnasium and get ready for the Bible Blazers. But not everybody is. Anybody can help Brother Palmore get ready with the music and put it in the chairs and there's a job, but not everybody is. Anybody can help to clean the baptistry? Oh, yes. Clean the commodes and the toilets and the restrooms. But not everybody is. I'm saying there's a place for you. But if you don't become as committed to that which is Christian service, then you feel unimportant. Watch this. You feel unconnected. You feel unconnected. How many times does somebody say, well, I just don't feel connected into the church. I just don't feel like I belong. When that's something, you feel like you belong to your family. You know why? Because you're connected into your family. You eat supper together. It's a appointed time. It's a place. You're planning something. You're involved. That's the same way it is that you get involved with people in the church. Hey, can you come with me and make a visit? Hey, can you be able to do this? Can I volunteer to help do this? Can I help do? And it causes you to feel loved, wanted, and needed because now you're a part of something, not just observing something. You ever watch a ball game? You watch a ball game. You can get up and leave anytime you want to. You leave at halftime. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to stop you at the gate and say, get back there. You're leaving at halftime. You're important. Now you get back up in those bleachers. Nobody's going to do that. You know, you're going to get out, you're going to get in your car, and you're going to go home. Nobody's going to say, you're not going to see anybody crying at the gate because you left. But now what if you're one of those players that's on that field? And all of a sudden you walk off and there's 75,000 people that's out there. And you walk off and you say, that's it. You walk off. There's a coach in Georgia that just recently, he was a football coach and he decided, his team was losing. He decided during the last 7 seconds of the game, he not told anybody yet, but he called his team in. And the last 7 seconds of the game, he says, this is it. This is my last time to coach you. I am now entering into retirement. And, you know, he got penalized for that because, I mean, it wasn't the proper thing to do. And all the referees are out there. They knew he wasn't supposed to be doing this, whatever he was doing. They had no clue. He went out to the referees and said, I just want to let you know that I've been doing this for over 30 years and I am now retiring. Well, they called the rest of the ball game off and everybody came over shaking hands and patting him on the back and stuff like that. Now, well, what do you call somebody like that? Well, that's a veteran. That's a veteran. But can I tell you, there was young men that was on that team was hoping they'd get that coach, the same coach, next year. Sure. You know why? Because there was a bond there. You saw some of those football players, and they had tears coming down their face, big old brute type of football. You know why? There was a bond there. And for a person to come to church, my dear friend, for a person to come to church and you do not get involved in doing something, there's no bond. Here, let me give it to you and I'm done. There needs to be that devotion. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, last verse I'll read. And Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now that's hard. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Look, he understood that everybody has crosses. Yes. But don't let your cross get in the way of following him. Amen. Don't do that. You have a cross. You say, well, I've got cancer. Then bring your cancer along as you follow him. Well, I've got a dysfunctional heart. Then bring your dysfunctional heart along as you follow him. But you don't understand, preacher. I've got difficulties. Well, then bring your difficulties along as you follow him. So he says, take up your cross, he said, and follow me. In the dictionary, the word devotion means earnestly attached to a cause or to a person. To a cause or to a person. Let me ask you something, dear friend. Are you attached? Now, I'm attached as an American. I tell you, I'm in. I love my country. I love my flag. I think these football players ought to be kicked in the rear when they kneel down and not honoring the flag. You say, well, they're trying to make a statement. They're making it at the wrong time. I love my country. I love my flag. But can I tell you, since I became a believer in Christ, I love Christianity. I love the people that are Christians. I have better fellowship with Christians than I do anybody else in all the world. We have such commonality together. We can fellowship together. There's such sweetness together. Now, can I tell you? Listen, I love this flag and what it represents also. Now, I don't have to choose. I can be both. I can be an American Christian. I can be, if you would please, that one that is a spiritual veteran for Christ.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.